Welcome to another episode of Life and Time in Tub City. Today we got a special guest, Chef Pat. Thank you for coming. Chef to the stars, chef to athletes, professional athletes, chef to families. Thank you for letting us come into your home and show me what you do. This is great. This is our chef series, and I appreciate you for coming. You got bars, you got juice, you got sea moss. We're going to get into all of that, but I just thank you for having us and giving us some knowledge about your background. Chef Pat, man. Thank you.
Man, it's an honor, brother. Appreciate it. I'm glad to be on this platform, man. Looking forward to getting some stuff and just really sharing some experiences, sharing some knowledge nuggets, and hopefully just opening up some minds as people get to listen to this.
Okay. So, I'm hungry. So what we got?
All right, good.
Let's go, man.
So we're gonna start you off with a simple appetizer, but okay, it's gonna be a little bit of a twist.
All right.
So what we're gonna start off with is a little scallop. But most people think of scallop and they think of what?
Seafood. Yeah, seafood.
Well, that's what's funny. You don't have to have seafood to have seafood.
Okay.
So we're gonna use a beautiful mushroom called a king trumpet mushroom. All right. So we use that. We sear it off the same way we would do a scallop. Season it, flavor it.
Okay.
Use a little plant-based butter. And just going to top that off with a little bit of sauteed.
You said plant-based peppers. Butter.
Plant-based butter.
Okay.
That's right. So one of the things that when I started cooking for athletes, I learned a lot about nutrition. I happen to have a master's in exercise science.
Okay.
Learned some sports nutrition. And I just continue to study and just go deeper into food and its impact on people. And things that I learned is that dairy can be very inflammatory.
Okay.
As an athlete, that's the last thing you want is inflammation in your body, right?
Yeah.
So
I know that. Yeah.
So with that being said, the bulk of athletes I cook for, I never use dairy with them. So I have to find alternatives. So plant-based butter would be something. If I'm doing anything with maybe a cream sauce, I'll use like an almond milk. I'll use maybe hemp seed milk because at the end of the day, I want to understand the importance of what's going on in your body, how it overall impacts you.
Okay. Where are you from? Where were you born?
It's hot. Be careful.
Oh, yes
it is. Yes, it is. Nice and toasty. We get to a little something to eat with. Matter of fact.
Before we get into that, I'm messing up. What, on Life and Times of Tub City, I have people that, I know I have relationships with. What is your recollection of how we met?
He met a phone call from a mutual friend.
You say his name.
All right. So, Chris Swayze.
Yes. The big guy.
I went to University of Miami. He coached at the University of Miami. So, Coach Swayze reached out to me because you had some guys that were in training. They needed food.
Yeah.
So, he gave my contact number. So, reached out.
Holy smoke.
I want you to say that again for the people. Caught y'all guard. Oh,
this is a mushroom?
Exactly. That's the beauty in it. Yes, that is a trumpet mushroom. So, but pack with flavor. We're going to get into this later, but I'll let people know right now. Flavor can be anything that can enhance anything. So that's what I love to do is like, you think you miss seafood or something. No, you just got flavor. I transferred flavor into a mushroom as great texture, almost similar to what? To a scallop.
So we're going to get back.
But yeah, so Swayze connected us.
Swayze connected.
Wanted to find some food for your client. You reached out to him. You started talking about how to basically how can prepare some food for your clients on the training for the combine.
Okay. I want to get back to where you were born and where you're from, but why did you give me wood?
So I gave you actually bamboo.
Okay.
Mainly because I had to learn that everything that touches our body, comes in contact with our body, actually can at a microscopic level get into our body, which means metals that, especially non-beneficial metals, can get into our body and create some toxicity in our body in the long run. Both you and I were older than 25. So for more than 25 years of my life, we probably have been using metal, which means we're putting that metal on our teeth. If you bite hard enough, you're getting fragments of that in your body, which can actually end up creating some toxic environment, with toxicity inside of you. So I didn't realize this until really within the past 3 or 4 years. And I was influenced by my girlfriend. She kind of let me know. And I did some more reading and realized, like, man, she got a point.
Yeah.
So I switched to just using bamboo in my house. I tried to encourage other people to use bamboo because this is something that at the end of the day, if you bite on it, that bamboo is not doing damage to your body. But if you're eating with silver, you don't necessarily want silver to mix in your system. You know, so, or other metals that, you know, utensils are made from. Yeah. That stuff will eventually get in you. So that's why we're doing bamboo today.
That's good. Okay. So you were born where?
Born in Washington, D.C., when it was truly Chocolate City. Matter of fact, before it was known as this DMV, okay, it was D.C., baby. So
what's the history behind that, the switch of the...
So the switch, I would say, occurred after I left. So I left D.C. in 1996. That's when I graduated high school. Came down, hit South Florida, University of Miami. And I probably started hearing this term DMV maybe around 2002, something like that. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is there's people that live outside of the area, so Maryland and Virginia,
okay,
who, when they're out of town, they need, most people don't think about Maryland or Virginia or Annapolis. They don't think about, people know about Baltimore, but they may not know about PG County. They may not know about Alexandria. May not know about some of these other cities, Manassas. Like, if I say Manassas, you're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, so people in Maryland, Virginia associate everything out from D.C.
It's an easy way to do it.
But the funny thing is, when I was at UM, one of my best friends was from Virginia, and we met freshman year, but he used to go around campus telling everybody from D.C. And I'm like, bro, what part you grow up in? And this dude told me, I was like, bro, you ain't from D.C. Come on, hold on. So once I checked him, every time he would tell somebody from D.C., I kind of float around. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm from Alexandria.
Yeah.
And you have to explain where Alexandria is. Right. So I think really the DMV came from a lot of folks just wanting to associate more with the D.C. area, because outside of the D.C., most people know about the city.
Were you an athlete growing up?
Yes, man. I played multiple sports, but I was a late bloomer. Okay. I was athletic in elementary school, but I wasn't into rec ball. I didn't know about travel ball. Uh-huh. So I just played sports. I just ran, just locally.
Yeah.
I got into sports probably middle school, started playing baseball. Did flag football,
yeah,
ran track in middle school. That's when I really got introduced to competitive sports.
Got you. So you graduate, you come down to UM for, what made you choose UM?
The blizzard of 96, dog. The blizzard of 96 hit D.C. hard. Like, I'm talking about, it was probably 12 to 18 inches of snow it hit.
Yeah.
And it got so cold that, like, the top layer was ice. So not only are you trying to use a regular shovel, you had to use a hard shovel, you had to crack the first layer. So funny enough, when I was applying for college, I got accepted to several colleges.
Okay.
Actually got accepted to Michigan State. It was really close to saying, I'm going to go to Michigan State. Seemed cool at the time. Had roommates picked out and everything. Also got accepted to the University of Miami. But that blizzard of 96 came, and I was shoveling that snow. My back was sore. I said, you know what, man? I'm done. I'm done with this doggone weather. Forget it. I'm good. 18 years of my life, I'm all right. So the weather was a huge factor. But also one of my best friends from high school was down there.
Okay.
And UM does a real cool thing for, like, minority students or melanated students.
Yeah.
They have a weekend they call Harambe Weekend. So it gives melanated students or just, like, minority students the opportunity to come down for a weekend and visit. So your senior year, you get to come down, you'll stay in a dorm with one of the actual students.
Oh, wow.
And they have a couple different events set up, and you get the chance to see what campus life is like. So that made it a lot easier because I got to meet some guys that end up being lifelong friends from that trip. And I'm like, it's so easy to go to college knowing somebody versus I'm leaving town, I don't know anybody, let's see what the heck happens.
Yeah.
So that also was in fact.
Okay, so you go to college, UM, and then you graduate and what from there?
This was hilarious. So I graduated, I studied computer information systems.
Okay.
Graduated 2000, never worked in my degree. So that's what's hilarious, and I laugh at folks.
Wait, to this day?
I've never held a job in the computer field. Which is crazy to me. The one time I almost worked in IT, 9/11 happened. I had an interview with an alumni from UM. They worked at Miami Airport. Interviewed, and this was in September. 9/11 happened, which happens to be my birthday. All hiring froze, especially in airports. So 9/11 screwed me up from actually going into my field. But at this age and stage of my life, every single thing I've experienced, every rejection, every acceptance, every success and failure happened for a reason. Yeah. I wasn't supposed to be in IT field with all the different things I've done and people I've met and things I've accomplished. So I was not supposed to be in IT. Okay. Not sitting behind a desk and being in front of a computer. But, yeah.
So we know you're a chef now.
Yes.
But what are some of the other things that you've done prior to?
Oh, man. So
I mean, I've done everything. I've washed cars. I've sold cars. I've did lawn care. I've, you know, coached. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you're just feeling around in the dark.
Man, when you're in your 20s, that's yeah. You're like, I learned this, but do I know how to do this?
Yeah.
I'm going to try this out.
Yeah.
You're not paying me enough, so I'm going to go do something else.
Yeah.
Like, literally, we're part of that generation that was not going to be loyal to one job. Like, our parents worked for 30-plus years in one thing. My mother worked for the Postal Service for 41 years. From 18 until she retired at like 50-something.
Yeah, my mom worked at Sun Furniture for a long time. My dad just retired in the...
Yes, the we airport. Got past that whole pension stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, I left school. I, funny enough, had a job offer with Allstate, which would have been in IT.
Okay.
A buddy of mine hooked me up, so this is why it's so important to have resources. It's so important to have a network. I was so fortunate that a good friend from college worked for Allstate, got me in the door, an interview, he put a good word in for me. They were hiring me. I had the job, salary and everything. So this is right after I graduate, and something inside of me, I have no idea. All I tell them to this day, God just didn't want me to go. Yeah. So the job was in Chicago, and I called them back and said, I can't take the job. And I had no job offer. I had no other job in place.
Yeah.
So I rejected a job to make money, leave town with nothing else to do.
Yes.
So it put me in position to really learn how to hustle, put me in position to be comfortable being uncomfortable early in my life.
Are you an only child?
I'm an only child.
Okay. So you had to figure it out.
Pretty much. And I wasn't going to run home to DC like, Mom, this ain't working. I don't have a job. You come home.
Yeah.
Never did that. So turned down that job in IT. End up working on campus for a little bit, found a job somehow through actual networking, just being out, bumped into some people that were salespeople. So I was in sales, working for a telecom company. So it was a new company called SBC Telecom, basically it's a subsubsidiary of Southwestern Bell. They were based out like the West Coast. They started a little office out here in Miami. All right, so I worked for them maybe about 9 months. That place did not run the way it should. That's all I can say. Don't want to badmouth any company. Things did not work out the way it should have. Got fired for the first time in my life.
Okay.
Got let go, and a lot of other salespeople got let go. So it wasn't just me doing something crazy, but a lot of people got let go because we just weren't generating the revenue we needed to.
Mm-hmm.
So I was unemployed. So that was my first wake up call and just scary moment.
That life real.
Yeah, like, shoot, my roommate I was living with. My best friend, brother from Virginia, who saved me some D.C.
Alexandria.
Exactly.
Okay,
all right. Yeah, we lived together because he was an engineer, so we did an extra year of school.
Uh-huh.
So, but then he graduated and he moved on. So now, him graduating, I needed that help, that rent.
Yeah.
I just got unemployed.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, what am I going to do? So I was borderline homeless for probably about 6-7 months.
Yeah.
Had some friends, so I stayed in garages. Stayed in small rooms for a couple of months. But while that whole time, I'm trying to hustle, look for jobs,
you're not,
on campus.
And you, at this point in time, you're not cooking. It's not
even close. Okay. Not even close. Okay. The closest I came to cooking was being in my apartment, making some fried tilapia and some cornbread. That was my thing back in the day. I made some cornbread. I would put like a tight apricot glaze on. I like thought I was doing it. I'm like, yeah, look at that right there. That thing's slick. But it's jiffy cornbread. Hey, I thought I was doing something back then. But yeah, cooking was not even close in my sights. So yeah, so I was unemployed. Where I went, this was the biggest wake up call. I went to the unemployment office, sat down, and I looked around that room. And this is no knock on immigrants, but I tell you, I looked at people that look like they literally just got off of rolled into Miami Beach.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here with a college degree from the University of Miami. I'm like, I will never come back here again. This is my last day. I'm not knocking people that can do it. But for me, I'm like, no. It's got to be a better way. So I took that one unemployment check. And after that, I just hustled out. Found odd jobs. I remember I was helping a buddy of mine that I knew because I was at UM. I was a manager of the men's basketball team at that time.
Okay.
So I ended up a friend of somebody used to do the laundry for them. So reached out to him, asked if he needed help doing some deliveries, was delivering laundry. Like you said, found this another odd jobs. Stumbled onto a gig working on at retail, like at the guest shop on Miami Beach for a little bit part time.
Really, like, did it all.
I had to. During that time, I got in shape. Like, I was working out. Like, I really got serious about lifting weight. So, I got a little extra muscle, had some six pack back then. So, I actually ended up doing some modeling. Signed with an agency, I went with the Green Agency.
Really?
So, yes, I was booking.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Gigs.
Oh, man.
And, bro, yes, yes. So, I did a couple commercial gigs. Actually, probably the highest paying gig I had booked a KFC gig that paid some residuals. And the funny thing, I think when I booked, I wasn't even eating chicken at that time. I gave up chicken. I was going back and forth with changing my diet back then. So I gave up chicken, but I booked a KFC gig. So yes, did some commercial modeling, trying to see if that was going to work. I didn't really get a lot of stuff, but I had gigs every now and then.
Yeah.
And then eventually, from doing some extra networking, stumbled into working at Target.
Okay.
Yeah. Worked at Target. Was a store manager, assistant store manager. Worked my way up and then realized I don't like the color red.
What?
So colors mean a lot to people. Red was not my favorite color. I had to wear a red shirt every day, 50 hours a week. Yeah. Walking around the same store, walking around. Like, you don't understand the side of retail until you work retail.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just being in that same store over and over, and you're looking at all that red, it just didn't fit well for me.
Yeah.
So Target didn't work out. Because this was back in Miami back then, spoken word was real cool. Yeah. So there was a little scene right here called the Funk Jazz Lounge. It was dope. Mm-hmm. They used to do it at a place called Hardaway's Firehouse. So it's like Tim Hardaway was still, I think Tim Hardaway may have just left the league.
Okay.
But they had a little spot in Miami, and they used to have like some cool music and poetry. So I used to go to that spot a lot. Stumbling onto that, I mean, just end up networking and bumping the folks, led me to meeting a guy that pushed me into working at a nonprofit. So I worked at a nonprofit organization, put me in a position where I was working with youth. That we hate to use the word at risk. Terrible term.
Yeah.
Everybody's technically at risk. Don't matter if you're rich or poor, whatever your shade is, we're all at risk of something at some point. Either way. So I worked with underprivileged youth. Did that for about a year and a half. But that exposed me to public speaking.
Gotcha.
I was okay in front of crowds. I used to host little events at campus and make jokes. I was kind of a funny guy. But working at this gig put me in a position where I got opportunity to speak in front of hundreds. And I've actually probably spoken at the largest crowd, was probably an auditorium of about 1,500 people.
Wow.
And it was exhilarating. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trained. I didn't go to like the different speakers, bureaus, the practice doing it. But sometimes gifts are inside of you.
Yeah.
And speaking in front of people was inside of me. And I worked on this nonprofit and put me in a position to be a public speaker and just grab people's attention, come up with my own presentations and how to really formulate it was phenomenal. Like, I actually, in the craft, studied the craft, learned how to speak, learned patterns and understanding. Sometimes you got to keep messages simple. I learned just, sometimes you focus on 3 points. Most people that listen can't listen for a long time, but if you consistently speak to somebody or speak to a group and you just make 3 points, you can remember 3 points.
That's cool.
So learning that, understanding cadence, understand you don't have to yell to be heard. Mm-hmm. Understand how to emphasize points. So I learned that in that job, and I learned that I was comfortable and I loved being in front of people, capturing attention, and hopefully leaving little knowledge nuggets.
That's good.
Want to save your HOA money on your home services while enjoying the benefits of living in a community? PIN Plus, the ultimate platform that brings neighbors together under one powerful concept, power in numbers. Communities can now negotiate group discounted pricing on essential home services, trash, pest control, pool maintenance, and so much more, all at unbeatable rates. Transform your home service experience today. Visit www.mypinplus.com today for more information.
All right.